This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more. This is Scams and Cons News with Jim Grinstead.
In this week's news, a potential victim got wise to the scammer on the phone and recorded part of the call. We'll let you listen in. And a San Diego woman who was scammed out of $147,000 got her money back, but her family had to raise a ruckus with the bank to get it. But we start with the story of a man who sold the New Yorker Hotel. He was indicted because he didn't own the building. The New York Post said Mickey Barreto was charged with several counts of falsifying property records, claiming that between 2019 and 2003, he claimed ownership of the Art Deco landmark. Prosecutors say he demanded that tenants pay rent. The Post reported that Barreto's scam started after a one-night stay at the hotel in June 2018. He allegedly told the hotel that he wanted to enter a lease agreement through New York's rent stabilization law. The hotel was not interested, and its owners, the Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of World Christianity, sent Barreto packing. Barreto turned to the civil court, where the judge ordered the hotel to let him back in. Barreto was awarded a year free rent at the historic hotel tower. His luck ran out in 2019 when he tried to claim ownership. Barreto convinced clerks at the city's Department of Finance that Judge Jack Stoller's orders to let him back into the hotel actually meant he was now the owner of the $189 million, 43-story hotel. Prosecutors say Barreto demanded rent from one of the hotel's tenants, registered the building under his name, and demanded that the hotel's bank turn over its accounts to him. Barreto also allegedly contacted the New Yorker Hotel's franchisor, Wyndham, and attempted to get it to transfer the franchise to him. He's entered a plea of not guilty before the court. Apparently his scam has room for improvement. A WTOP radio reporter in Washington, D.C. almost got scammed. The radio station reported that one of its sports and traffic reporters got a phone call claiming he owed a fee to the police and he needed to come to the station to handle it. The reporter said, quote, "He said he was from law enforcement. I even heard police radios in the background. And he simply said that we have two jury violations in your name. You need to come to Germantown to the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and clear this up for a fee of just over $1,000. And he named invoice numbers and a juror number." End quote. The reporter, Steve Dreschner, caught on quickly and was taken aback by how real it sounded. The sheriff's office said many such calls have been made around the county. In Australia, a potential victim got a phone call from a scammer pretending to be from the National Australian Bank, known to most as the NAB. Yahoo Finance in Australia said the caller knew his potential victim's personal details and told him there had been an attempted transaction on the account in New Zealand. He also claimed to have sent him a text message from NAB. When the scammer called, the potential victim had a tape recorder running.
Yeah, well, I'll call them. If it goes out, then so be it. But I'm not going to be talking to somebody on private about some secret code, sorry.
No, sir. It's something that I have sent you, just to confirm. It's a two-factor authentication. Okay? This is AI-generated.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. So I sent that to you. As soon as I said I sent it, you received a text message from that, correct?
Yes.
Exactly, sir. So it's impossible if I didn't work for this institution for me to send you text messages on the government gateway. So if you click on that text message and if you scroll up, you will be able to see that you've received previous texts from there before. So it's not something that you haven't received from us.
Yeah. All right, mate.
Exactly. So if you could just go ahead and pop onto that text message. And
I'm going to I'm not going to do it until I speak to somebody from NAB that I actually call.
That you actually call. Okay, sir. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm going to go ahead and try to stop this payment. But if it does go ahead and leave the account, unfortunately, you will be liable for this payment. Okay?
Yep.
Okay. Love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, mate.
Fortunately, it was the phone that went click and not the mouse. This is Scams and Cons News. I'm a summer guy. I'll be on the porch, enjoying a cool drink and reading. Doesn't get any better, unless someone else does the cooking. I'm not going to spend the day in fresh air, only to eat processed foods. If I'm not eating fresh, I'm wasting one of the best seasons of the year. Fortunately, Factor comes to my rescue. They send fresh meals to me that can be cooked up in minutes. I can go back to the porch with a great meal and enjoy the sunset. I'm not into programmed diets. I like the chef's choice meals, but if I wanted keto, protein, vegan, or anything else, they can provide it. Premium meals could include steak, shrimp, broccolini, or asparagus. The meals come prepped and are customizable. You can get add-ons for breakfast, lunch, or snacks. And when I head out on vacation, Factor will pause my service until I get back. Plus, I love to grill, so I can choose one of Factor's meals during the week and fire up the charcoal on weekends. Be good to yourself. Enjoy the warm weather, great foods from Factor, along with some money-saving discounts I'm about to tell you about. Head to factormeals.com/scamsandcons50 and use code scamsandcons50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code scamsandcons50 at factormeals.com/scamsandcons50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. CBS San Francisco said a man sold fake investments in real estate and businesses. The television station said local prosecutors, who said the man convinced four people to transfer hundreds of thousands of dollars to his personal accounts, never invested the cash, or returned it to investors who requested refunds. The man faces charges of grand theft, securities fraud, identity theft, passing fraudulent checks, filing a false document along with white-collar taking enhancements. He's believed to have taken more than $2.3 million from his four victims. Would you fall for a scam that asked you to pay $65,000 in gold bars? A St. Louis, Missouri area man did. KMOV said the man got a call from someone pretending to be an FBI agent who told him that his identity was stolen and there was a warrant for his arrest. To stay out of trouble, he'd have to pay a large amount of money. When the so-called agent came to the house to pick up the gold, the man got suspicious, refused to pay, and took a photo of the fake agent's rental car. That gave police a lead to chase.
We were able to identify a person, and through rental car agreements and investigations, we were able to determine a person that we thought it might be.
Police charged a man believed to be from Alabama, and authorities there hoped to pick him up. If you find yourself at an intersection in Illinois and encounter individuals soliciting funds for a family member's funeral, it could be a scam. Scams come in various forms and can be challenging to discern from genuine situations. Police say a warning was shared on the Nextdoor app by an individual in Rockford, warning of another scam tactic involving individuals parading with posters seeking donations for a supposed funeral. In Eugene, Oregon, KECI says a scammer, posing as an animal services official, is targeting people who've posted about lost pets. The official demands payment for emergency medical care when, in fact, the pet has not been found. Police say scammers got their information from posters and ads placed around the community.
They say Jack Richardson from Lane County Animal Services has found their pet, but it's injured. They then demand payment for emergency medical treatment via Cash App. Now, Lane County Animal Services say they would never withhold emergency medical care for any animal, nor demand payment via Cash App, gift cards, money orders, or any other app. They also do not contact owners via text message.
This is Scams and Cons News.
My name is Bill Huffman, and I am a former Cleveland news producer, and I am now the host of the podcast Who Killed? I began the show focusing on the unsolved murder of Amy Mihaljevic, and now each week I explore a different case with a focus on some of the victims who don't get the attention they deserve. I have a deep catalog of over 225 episodes, so there is a guarantee there will be something for you. Who Killed is an Evergreen Podcasts, Killer Podcasts, and Slow Burn Media production. Subscribe today wherever you get your favorite shows.
It's not often that victims get their money back after a scam, but it happened in San Diego, where a woman recovered $147,000 from a scammer who talked her out of the money. The savings were from the sale of her home. She and her husband moved to be closer to their children. Then he became ill and moved into a care facility.
You know, I thought I was doing the right thing, and it turned out disastrous.
Sergio Flores at NBC 7 in San Diego explained how the scam was run.
So let's break down how it played out based on the official notification email she received from Wells Fargo. After she gave the caller her banking information, at 1:27, her password was changed. 4 minutes later, digital wire services were added to her account. 6 minutes after that, a recipient with the name Wendell Henry was set up. Judith transferred $49,000 to that account, and get this, she tells me she didn't see the name Wendell Henry, but her own name. She later found out that was the nickname given to the account.
And my name was on there, and I clicked on Judith Anderson, and we sent the wire. And there was another one.
She sent two more transfers the same way, and Judith says each time the caller amped up the pressure.
He kept telling me, okay, you've got 1 minute. You've got 1 minute left to do this.
And as the fourth transfer was being processed, the whole thing just became too much, says Judith, and she hung up.
It appeared the money was gone, but the television station asked Wells Fargo why internal controls weren't in place to protect customers. Wells Fargo waffled, saying it was an industry-wide concern and declined to help. Later, Wells Fargo reimbursed the woman for the loss. It could be because the daughter took the story to the television station and social media, where millions of people responded.
When we first saw the first $49,000 go back into the account on a Thursday, my brother was the first one that saw it, and Wells Fargo hadn't reached out to us yet, so we weren't sure what was happening. And we both said, should we tell mom any of this yet? And I said, let's just wait for the morning and just see what happens. And then by the next morning is when Wells Fargo called and gave me the news that they were going to be refunding all of it. And I was traveling, so you can imagine, you know, I wanted to be with mom in person to tell her, but we ended up FaceTiming her and telling her the news, and we were just elated.
Tracy looked back on her experience.
Well, I knew we needed to just make a lot of noise. I wasn't going to let it rest. And so I had told mom, let's reach out to the news and just get a little buzz going about it. And, you know, of course, it wasn't easy. And she was embarrassed and said, people are going to call me dumb. And, you know, I feel so stupid that it even got to that point. But I really felt like the word needed, our intention of putting that word out was to try to help other people. You know, lots of people said, oh, do a GoFundMe. You know, we want to support. And I was really adamant from the beginning that we weren't going to raise money from family and friends, that I felt Wells Fargo needed to make it right. But yeah, just getting the word out there. But it wasn't easy for her.
This is Scams and Cons News.
Scams and Cons is a member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.
3 a.m., the comedy horror podcast that holds weekly gatherings around the campfire. Let me tell you what you're going to get. You're going to hear stories about demonic possessions, prison stabbings, skinwalkers, glitches in the Matrix, cult leaders, missing 411, night marchers, Operation Paperclip, Mesopotamian devil worship, and so many monsters it'll give Kanye West a runaway for his money. Pop and meme culture also aren't off topic. A camp where laughs and scares are constantly competing for first place. We're just a group of friends trying to bust each other's balls, find the best stories, and expand the circle in the process. 3 a.m., the comedy horror podcast, not for the faint or fragile of heart. Let's go.